You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples agreed him, Rabbi, eat some. But he said to them, I have no food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe and for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they argued him to stay with them and stay 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said the women were no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us.
John Macy, pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts, we invite the Holy Spirit to work. Lord, we invite you to change us, to create something new. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to watch students grow in their faith, in their understanding, and their knowledge of you. And Lord, we thank you that this is a safe place for them to do that, a place to grow, a place to find understanding in this world. In your name, amen. I have my raised cup up here full of probably lukewarm coffee now. But I love my cups. I have probably 4 or 5 cabinets full of cups. I have glasses, I have Tervises, I have various cups from theme parks. I have all sorts of different cups, and I like to use them. I like to fill them up with water. I like to have them all day. I like to. Some of them are in my office. Some of them are in the youth room. Some of them are just everywhere. Everywhere I need it, I have a cup and ready to go. And so this passage where Jesus comes for a drink really like hits home with me. I'm like, well, that's what I like to do a lot. I like to have my cups, and I wake up every morning and I'm ready to go for my day. A lot of it's themed, so today it's the rays, in a few days it'll be the lightning, and so on and so forth with my cups. But isn't any wonder that Jesus comes to this well at a certain time of the day to have a conversation over a drink? There's so many times in my life that I can look back on and have memories with people over a beverage, whether it be coffee, whether it be smoothies, whether it be sodas, whether it be an adult beverage, whether it be frappuccinos, whether it be tea, whether it be orange juice, whether it be water, whether it be wine, no matter what it is, sitting around and having a drink with somebody, face-to-face, one-on-one, maybe even within a group, allows people's guards to drop down a little bit. Jesus used this opportunity in front of the well for this woman to drop her guard a little bit. At first, they were coming for a drink of water, and they were thirsty, and Jesus probably was ready to have a glass with her. But as the conversation got going, he started with the basic needs. Do you have a drink? Can you get me a drink? When we look at the people in our life, when we try and have conversations with various family members, people that we come in contact with, friends, where do we start? How do we get the conversation going? Too often times we start with, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, I'm doing okay. And we leave it there. Oh, that's great. See ya. But how do we get to the root of people's problems? How do we get to the depths of what is really going on in their day, in their life, and what they're really struggling through, what they're really holding on to? Jesus didn't end with a drink, did he? He ended up talking about spiritual things. And he ended up talking about really the depth core of the situation that was going on in her life, which was the fact that she had five husbands, and right then she was with somebody that wasn't her husband. And she was trying to work that out. And what does that mean? And how do I really worship God? And how do I really live this life with what's going on in my world? And Jesus took a moment to break through, to really challenge her, to really change her. Do we do that? Do we take that time with even our family, our friends, or maybe the people that we come in contact with within our life? The people at the grocery store, the server at the restaurant. Do we take time to get to know them? Do we take time to dig in and see what's going on in their heart and in their life and offer them the hope that Jesus offered this woman? He offered her living water. And of course, she was excited. She's like, hey, if I don't have to go to this well, that's great. Let's get it going. But it was something different. It was something spiritual. And we all have that water to offer people. We all have that spiritual connection to say, listen, you might be going through this situation. I am too. I'm going through it, or I have been through it, but I have Jesus. And I have this living water that has worked its way and has changed my perception. It has changed my reality. It has changed how I focus on things, how I walk through this world. Let me share that with you. And when we do that, we can explore and we can actually get to the heart of what people are going through. I've asked Megan and Trent to read some things that I have found on the internet some different things that people have struggled with. And sometimes people don't say what's really on their heart and what's really on their mind. Sometimes they hold on to it. Some things like this. Go ahead, Megan.
Dear Mr. Christian, I'm a 17-year-old girl and a senior in high school. My parents and I, more my mom and I, have struggled with the topic of respect for a long time. We had a discussion about this earlier today, and it led to arguing and tears. She constantly says, to earn respect, you must give it. And I agree 100%. The problem is, she doesn't believe that she and Dad should live by that, just me. She feels that no matter how upset or annoyed I might get by something rude she or Dad says, I don't have the right to talk back. What upsets me is they talk rude to me all the time. How can you expect your kid not to do something when they do it as parents all the time? Do parents have the right to talk rude if they want and expect their kids to be perfect little angels?
We all struggle with things behind closed doors, things that we would not want others to hear, to find out, and to expose. But those are the very things that Jesus wants us to be active and involved in, to help a broken and hurting world. As Jesus has this conversation with this woman, she goes off into the town. And she is enlightened by what the Bible says, all of the things that I have ever done. That is the words that she uses. Imagine if you had a conversation like that. All the things that you have ever done. That would be extremely scary. I don't think that I would like that much at all. To find someone on the well and be like, hey, well, what about this time? Oh, well, what happened at this situation? Oh, what's going on there? That would frighten and scare me to death. But at the same time, what a release that would be to know that you don't have to hold on to that anymore. That you can leave it at the well. That you can leave it with Jesus and just go on and be free. Free from all those things that bind us, that trap us, that cause walls, that cause burdens, that cause barriers. We have the opportunity to do that in people's lives. We are called by Christ so that we can do that. Some people are holding on to fears that they would never want anyone else to find out, just like this one.
Dear Mr. Christian, I'm a student in 8th grade. In September, we had a shooting at the high school in my district. Honestly, I have no clue what to think. My dad always said that being in South Dakota, we are safer from the craziness that happens in more populated areas. We have little to no bad, dangerous kids in our district, so I still can't wrap my mind around it. It feels surreal. I'll be in high school next year, and I don't know how I'm going to cope with the idea that it could happen again.
This past week, Emma actually, for her class, had a duck and cover. They actually practice school shootings in school now. And we are informed and we're told that it's happening, but she did. Her and her class, they practice an intruder coming in and what they would do. And they have the certain steps and they have the procedures. And the teacher informed the parents. And then through Class Dojo, which I love Class Dojo, her teacher took pictures of them actually doing it. And so I was actually able to see all the kids lined up under the desks in a dark room, trying to be quiet. It's real and it's out there. And these things and these questions that we go through and these things that people deal with on a regular basis needs love and they need attention. I am an Uber driver. And I love it. It is one of the best things that I get to do. And every time that I Uber, which I haven't Uber in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks almost. But every time I Uber, I pray three things. I pray for safety as I drive. I pray that I do not get lost, even though I have directions. I am super directionally challenged. And I pray for my conversations inside my vehicle. And those are the three things that I pray every time I turn my Uber app on. And God has allowed me to enter into these people's lives because I have them for the miles that I have. Some of them, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, quick conversation. Some of them, 20, 25. Some of them longer because we do U-turns, but we won't talk about that. But there was this one conversation. Usually, conversations start with, what do you do for work? Which that is always fun to bring up, especially leading up to whatever the conversations were before that moment. And two, it's usually happens to be going through school, some type of schooling. So that's always fun because I say that I'm going to seminary in Iowa and they're like, what? But then there was this one lady that we got into conversations on spirituality and on her walk with God. And she had been struggling a little bit with it. And her children go to church and her children always come back singing the songs and they always get her excited. And she really was trying to start to do things right, trying to lead a good life, trying to get back into church. And she actually, as we were driving, she actually was sharing that she was the very next day going to go buy a Bible. And I said, oh, well, that's good. And we talked about the different translations to buy and da-da-da and what, you know, what she should look for and that sort of thing. And we got to her house and we pulled up. And I reached into my glove box and I pulled out my Bible. And I said, you know what? I know you with all of your heart want to go buy a Bible. And I encourage you to buy a Bible tomorrow. One that you'll love, one that you can smell, and you just know that it's yours. And I said, but I want you to have this one too. Because just in case things happen in your life tomorrow that is unexpected, you'll have one. It's better to have two, but at least you'll have one. And I gave it to her and we prayed. And it's just in those moments of readiness that we need to be ready for what God has in store for us. And I'm ready. My Bible is in my glove box for the next time that I need it. I always have my Bible and I always have a McDonald's gift card because I'm ready for the homeless person on the side of the road that I'm ready to go. Besides my drink and my glove and my cup holder, my car is ready, and we need to be like that. We need to be ready. Jesus wasn't surprised by that woman. He was ready. And later, Jesus tells a story of another Samaritan, a man who found someone left for dead on the side of the road. And that man went down and reached him up and took care of his needs and did everything that he needed for that stranger. And that is the heart that we need to have. To bend over backwards, to start the tough conversations, to get into people's lives when all they really want to say is, I'm okay, I'm good, stop. Jesus didn't stop. Jesus told her everything that she had done. It's crazy. And we need to have that heart for people too. Let's pray. God, help change our hearts to be more like you. It is Sunday. And even after we leave this place, we will have conversations with people. People that we know, people that we don't know. Lord, your word says the field is ripe with harvest, but the workers are few. Allow us to be ready to reap and be ready to sow. Be ready to have an answer and be ready to start the tough questions. Lord, use us. Prepare us and go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Please help people who are dealing with sicknesses. Help them to get better and know that you are with them. Please watch over all the kids in the world going through hard times or who don't have a home or family. Give all of us the strength to use our abilities toward helping people in need, and help us to love each other and practice peace and forgiveness. Now please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be the name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we debt. And lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For this thine kingdom and the power of the glory forever. Amen.
Pray with me. God, you are the provider. You meet our needs. You make things work. And Lord, over and over again, you are faithful. Even when we don't deserve it, and even when we don't know where it's coming from, you provide. Lord, allow us to cheerfully give back to you so that you may continue to bless us and use us for your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go, we have one closing song, and we will sit for that. It is a music video, and I want you to listen to the words and allow it to challenge us to meet the real needs that are out there, the people that are broken that will not tell you that they are broken because it is just too painful. Those are the people we need to reach.
Yeah. I was 9 years old when daddy first touched me. At 15 I ran away and never stopped running. I met a man who took me in cause I was pretty though. And said that you can make some money in my video. I get high and drunk just to make it through a show and act like I'm enjoying it. But really this is all a show. I feel degraded, purity obliterated. This is all I know, I really hate it. Mr. Minor, are you listening? I know that you're a Christian and got computer programmed to block me from your vision. And every time you watch me, you say that I'm the issue. Your pastor preaching about how not to let me catch you slipping. But maybe I'm a victim. Maybe I'm just trapped in the system. And next time you pray, maybe I might get a mention. Before you talk about me, remember that I'm lost. And your secret pleasure coming at a cost. Dear Mr. Christian, I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning. But I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian, I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning. But I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian.
Oh no. Man, I'm on that chronic, higher than a comet. Sipping gin and tonic, drinking till I vomit. Tatted on my arms, like tatted on my face. Yeah. Pants hanging low, Nina on my waist. I be slinging salsa, plus I got that hard. Die for my hood, ride for my boulevard. I got love for my dogs, but never for these girls. It's M-O-E, cause money rule the world. But Mr. D, when I grew up from it, so my pops get killed in from it. So my mama do dope it from it. Felt like ain't nobody love me. Uniform dirty, dressing from it. Went to school, they call me ugly. Called the bus, they used to jump me. God, I just prayed till you Sunday. Now it's Monday, I'm starving. Sip sour milk out the carton. Talk to myself while I'm walking. Should I put myself in the coffin? I don't know. All I grew up with is trouble. Ain't no role model. I knew the struggle.
Dear Mr. Christian, I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning. But I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian.
attention. I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning, but I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian.
Excuse me, I don't quite understand you. Propaganda and banter and all of this empty chatter. And amidst these amens, hallelujahs and shucking jiving, I see a lot of hypocrites and hypercriticizing. Mr. LaCroix, my mama sold me up the river for some rocks, and daddy told me I was nothing but a problem. Now here you come telling me I'm a low-down dirty sinner, and you got the nerve to wonder why I'm in these streets robbing? Well, gon' get Batman, and gon' get Batman. I don't need to be judged by you and all of your whack friends. Ain't gluttony a sin? Why you staring at my gin? Where I'm from, we don't pretend. We know we ain't getting in. Now the world don't trust me, and these streets done crush me. Thought you were known for love, but you just love the judgment.
Truth is, ironically, you need me around, though. Cause otherwise, you got nobody else to look down on.
Dear Mr. Christian, I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning, but I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian, I know you're on a mission. I know you say the answer to my problem is religion. I know I'm supposed to change the way I live and stop sinning, but I'd appreciate it if you take some time to listen. Dear Mr. Christian.